know that the future is going to be one of renewable energy. But what kind of renewable energy? Hydro, wind, solar, geothermal, they're all very popular sources of renewable energy that we have at our disposal today. And depending on the natural resources and environment, each country has its own unique energy mix of four in order to optimize its energy needs. I'm Christy Ein. Today, we're going to be analyzing the cost of wind energy. Is it worth the investment? And are there any negative consequences to building out these massive wind turbines? Wind turbines have become a prominent feature of renewable energy landscapes worldwide. The energy is created by the wind turning a turbine that uses a series of mechanisms that change the speed of rotation as it leads to a generator. While there's no input cost associated with using wind to create electricity as opposed to coal or natural gas, it is difficult for countries to adopt wind power as a primary source of energy. First off, it is expensive to buy or manufacture windmills and turbines. Moreover, there are logistical difficulties such as changing wind directions or even inconsistency. The setup costs can vary depending on the location and the capacity of the farm. For commercial wind turbines, each turbine costs between $2.6 to $4 million. And this investment is expected to be recouped over a long period of time. On average, it costs around $1.3 million per megawatt to construct a wind farm. Most commercial wind turbines have a capacity of 2 to 3 megawatts, but offshore turbines can be as large as 16 to 18 megawatts. To put it into context, a single megawatt is enough to power 1,000 homes for a month. Once built, the maintenance cost is an ongoing expense at around $42,000 to $48,000 per year. And this number climbs as the turbine ages, given the wear and tear these turbines put up with every day. The blade tip regularly changes its speed from 120 to 180 miles per hour. China, the US, and Germany are among the top producers of wind energy. They have invested significantly in harnessing the power of the wind to meet their energy needs. China ranks first in the world for wind energy with a total of annual electricity output at over 650 terawatt hours. The US is second at 379 terawatt hours. And finally, we have Germany at 115 terawatt hours. And as you can see, there's quite a significant gap between all three of these leaders in the space. In 2021, nearly 34% of global renewable energy investment was directed towards wind projects. And this highlights the growing importance of wind in our energy mix. Wind energy has become more affordable due to technological advancements, with onshore wind power being one of the most cost-competitive sources of electricity generation in many regions. Wind turbines can operate with high availability, generating electricity up to 80% of the time, given a stable energy supply. But because of the constant movement of the wind turbines, these tend to break down over the course of 20 years and need to be replaced often, even if they are well maintained. This compared to solar panels that are static and can last up to 25 to 30 years. Offshore wind farms are now of growing interest as these farms generate electricity from the wind blowing across the sea. And they're considered more efficient than onshore wind farms, more consistent, and lack the physical interference that you have on land. The leaders of offshore wind include China, the UK, and Germany. So to explain more about the cost of wind energy, we are joined by Professor Trevor Lechter, author of The Wind Energy Engineering. So Trevor, how has the cost of setting up and maintaining wind farms evolved over the years, and what steps can be taken to further improve cost effectiveness?
First of all, the cost of wind turbines have been dropping steadily, and over the last 20 years, they've dropped at least 50%, at least 50%. So wind energy now is comparable to setting up a new power station. So it's level pegging with the fossil fuel industry.
Now, wind energy is often praised for its positive impact on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Could you elaborate on how wind power can play a crucial role in mitigating climate change?
Well, the most important thing is that wind turbines do not need fuel. Power stations need coal, need gas. That is its great advantage. And that is one of the reasons why it's cost effective. It does not. You don't need to buy fuel to run it. The fuel is free. It comes from the sun. There's only one form of energy coming into this earth, and that is from the sun. And wind energy is actually a secondary effect, but some parts of the world have a lot more wind than others. So therefore, it is very good in some places, not in others. The United Kingdom is particularly good, and the UK is one of the leaders in wind energy. Just for example, one day last year, 70% of all the electricity made in England was from wind turbines. On average, it's about 27% of all the electricity made in England is wind energy. Worldwide, wind energy is only making about 7-8% of the electricity in the world. Another reason why the UK is so fortunate is that it has a very shallow coastline, and you can erect offshore wind turbines. Offshore wind turbines are a lot more effective simply because you have land breezes during the day and you have night breezes at night. So the wind is blowing day and night.
And as wind turbines have grown in size and capacity, how has their efficiency improved, and what innovations do you see shaping the future of wind energy?
The efficiency of a wind turbine is dependent upon the area of the wind turbine, the area accepting the wind. And as this is equal to pi r squared, as you know, the larger the radius, the greater will be the amount of energy that you can collect. And it goes up r squared, which means that wind turbines have been getting taller and taller and bigger and bigger. And nowadays, you can buy wind turbines with a radius of 130 meters. Now, that's a diameter of 260 meters. So these wind turbines are 300 meters above the land or above the sea. One interesting thing is that these turbines are so very large that you cannot make them offshore, because you can't put them in a trailer and then try and turn a corner when you get to a bend in the road. They're just too very long. The radius is 130, so the diameter is 260 meters. So the answer is they're made like oil rigs. They're made offshore or on the shoreline.
Now, of all the renewable energy sources out there, thermal, hydro, solar, and others, where does wind rank? Should countries allocate more or less money towards wind?
We jolly well should. Wind turbine is number two in the hierarchy. The most effective today is hydroelectric power. Just to give you an idea, hydroelectric power produces 17% of the world's electricity. Wind turbines 7-8%. So solar is only 4-5%. So the wind turbine is a very effective way of making electricity, and it is increasing daily. And China's particularly good on this. The United Kingdom is as well. USA is catching up. China is doing incredibly well on wind turbines, but it's such a huge country and it needs so much electricity that although they are swamping the amount of turbines being produced worldwide, it doesn't make a huge difference to their total energy needs, simply because the needs are so very, very large.
Thank you so much, Professor Trevor Letcher, for all your time today. But when we come back, we will explain what are the obstacles wind energy faces to produce the most energy. So don't go away.
There's no end in sight over how you're going to continue to destroy the Earth.
It's the case of the madness of the people.
I tried to go to the gym, but I'm certainly not ready to fight Russia.
This is all so absurd.
This is third world lunacy. Brainwashing.
As Ursula von der Leyen likes to say, we have the tools.
Why don't we just start with stability and business deals?
What planet are you living on, man?
We have very good propaganda in our press here in Europe.
I think we don't know the aftermath.
Anytime that you're not allowed to ask questions, you should ask all of the questions.
The more questions asked, the better the answers will be.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
I look forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence as own existence.
While wind energy brings significant benefits, it is essential to examine the challenges it poses. Now, one of the big factors is that it is completely dependent on the whims of Mother Nature as to how much wind is forecasted for the day. If there's no wind at all, then all of these turbines sit idle. Wind is never constant, and overall averages will have turbines only spinning at 30 to 40% of their rated capacity for onshore. Wind power also won't work everywhere. You need areas where the wind blows strong and steady in order to make the investment worthwhile. Even with ideal locations in coastal areas, hills, and open fields, it doesn't blow all the time. And this causes intermittency, when energy generation stops or slows down due to the lack of wind. Now, there are concerns revolving around the potential environmental impacts. Earlier this year, six whales washed ashore in areas being prepared for large-scale offshore wind farms. And while there is no specific evidence that the noise resulting from the offshore wind sites could potentially cause the mortality of whales, there is a strong correlation. And recent studies have shown that certain marine species, such as whales and seals, might be affected by wind turbines' underwater noise. A study by Oceana raised the concerns about the distortion of marine species' echolocation abilities due to the presence of these offshore wind farms. However, proponents of wind projects continue to claim that correlation does not imply causation and insist that there are other dangers to whales that are more of a life-threatening risk, such as vessel strikes and entanglements in fishing gear. Additionally, noise pollution from wind turbines have sparked debates in local communities. The turbine blades make a lot of noise as they turn, and birds and bats can be killed or injured. Despite these concerns, wind energy is the second most widely used renewable energy source, with global installed wind power capacity exceeding 263 gigawatts. And this accounts for approximately 24% of the world's total renewable energy generation capacity, right behind hydropower. So for this and more, let's bring in Todd Bubba Horowitz, CEO of Bubba Trading. Now, Bubba, if there is evidence that wind energy has its faults, why do companies keep on pushing wind energy?
Well, I think it's about money, right? It's got nothing to do with whether or not it works or not, because it does not work very well. It's been proven that it's too expensive and it doesn't work very well, and we're really not equipped to handle it either way. But it's, again, it's about the tax credits, it's about money, it's about how much these companies can make by being in bed with the government trying to create these phony climate change products.
And what are the primary challenges associated with wind energy that may hinder its widespread adoption as compared to, say, other renewable energy sources?
Well, I mean, there's really no replacement for fossil fuels yet. They can talk about it all they want, but with the current infrastructure, you cannot produce enough energy to have those turbines that continue to spin, continue to work. You know, we've had one major problem in this country for as long as I'm alive, and that is that every presidential candidate since I've been around has promised to fix the infrastructure. None have done so yet. So what we have is a problem, and you have these half-hearted solutions that aren't going to work because we cannot. First of all, you can't put, where are you, how many wind turbines can you put up? There's many wind farms out there that do not allow for the production of the energy that is needed. You know, we use a lot of energy in this country, and we have not been able to master or satisfy the need by using wind nor solar yet.
Now, why do you say that the government won't invest in this infrastructure when they, in fact, have poured millions of dollars into subsidies?
Well, there is money, and those who are producing it are getting, you know, lots of tax credits and lots of tax breaks, which, again, is the same as money, right? You know, it's just as if you put something in that the government is giving you a tax credit, you're getting it directly off your return. So you actually are getting paid for it, no matter how they want to focus it. And that's the bigger problem, right? We have too many projects that couldn't work, and we have no plan on how to use them nor how to get there.
And now many critics argue that wind's intermittency can pose reliability issues for the power grid. How are companies addressing this concern and ensuring consistent energy supply?
Well, that goes back to the power grid, right? You need energy to have those turbines to spin and to work, right? They don't just work purely on air only. And of course, you have a power grid that isn't capable of handling everyday circumstances. I mean, we have to have blackouts when weather gets too hot in certain parts of the world. When you buy a new Tesla, they tell you to charge it at night because, of course, the power grid cannot handle it because the country has not done a good job at focusing on fixing the problems at hand. This goes back to, you know, fixing the levees and things in Katrina, right? They didn't want to fix them. They're too cheap because they're too busy stealing the money instead of putting it to where it's supposed to be. And the first thing you have to do before any of these projects get going to work is fix the infrastructure of this country. But of course, if you go back to the Colonial Pipeline hack, and President Biden said, well, it's a private company, it's not our problem. Well, it is our problem because we're very accessible to be hacked by just about anybody right now.
And now some studies have suggested that wind energy projects might not be as economically viable as proponents claim. So what flaws in wind are they pointing out?
The same issue applies. The wind does not create because you're too dependent. We know the sun's out every day, but there isn't wind every day. There isn't enough to guarantee enough fuel. You can't even get a guarantee enough using solar power, let alone wind power. And that's the problem. And you've seen wind farms where there's thousands of windmills spinning around that still can't generate enough power to power the farm that they're on.
Is there any validation to the wind turbines affecting marine life and harming whales, seals, and seabirds?
I don't know about what they do to the environment specifically. I can't comment that because I don't know the answer. I would suspect not, other than birds that might fly through and get caught up in them, because, you know, with solar, the birds do get slaughtered in the solar panels. So I would assume similar problems would be in wind, but I don't know that would be any major effect or something that would stop me from saying that would be something we would do.
And now, why would consumers care about where the energy comes from as long as you have energy and electricity? Is it only because of climate change?
Well, I mean, again, we are in no position to replace the fossil fuel, right? And when you go through the globe and you look around, China and India are never going to stop burning coal, and they represent 40% of the world. They are going to continue. In fact, China's dropped any protection of the climate recently. And of course, it's nothing we do is going to change what 40% of the globe is doing. So we can talk the nonsense and we can talk the climate change all we want. But at the end of the day, we should be using fossil fuels, using our own fossil fuels, and not worry about the climate yet until the government who's behind this program says, hey, we're going to fix the infrastructure. We're going to put a plan together. We're going to tell you what it's going to cost and when it's going to be ready, instead of making ridiculous threats of stopping, you know, different things like gas stoves, water heaters, and things like that. I mean, that is just totally ridiculous. And the position we are in is totally ridiculous.
And energy storage is often considered a crucial aspect of renewable energy integration. So what are the viable options for storing excess wind energy? And wouldn't that inflate the cost, as the batteries are still very expensive?
Well, listen, again, no matter what we do, we can't control what the rest of the world does. And we are only a minority of compared to the rest of the world. And again, if you have 40% of the world burning coal in China and in India, plus the rest of them that are, how are you going to do anything? We are the cleanest country. United States is the cleanest country in the world as it is. So now you think you're going to stop or prevent any of this, and that's if you believe in climate change. But as far as I've heard, the world is ending because of the climate for the last 50 years, and yet here we are, still in the same position with the temperature change of less than a quarter of a degree.
And now, do you think, is wind energy better for urban or for rural areas?
I still think that the best energy source that we have and the most prepared we are is for the fossil fuels, because again, they can burn clean, they can remain clean, and they have not had as dramatic effect on the environment as the officials would like us to believe. I think more of it is a crock and really not realistic. And I think this is the story that is being told because we like to tell fairy tales that are not really legitimate.
Thank you so much, Bubba, for all your time today. So, is wind energy actually worth it? Is it a worthwhile investment for a sustainable future? We have the undeniable advantages of wind energy, sure, including its cost effectiveness, its efficiency, and its potential to mitigate climate change, as it makes a crucial player with global transition to renewable sources. However, we must still acknowledge the complexities that accompanied this journey. The environmental impacts of wind turbines, concerns about wildlife interactions, and considerations surrounding the grid stability call for stable planning and mitigation strategies. I'm Christy Ai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.